that correct. We do not have the time certain.
So we do 10, 11.
Let's do 10, 11, 12, and 14. Let's get them all done. We have time.
Item 10. Accept a grant from the Oregon Office of Emergency Management for their Emergency Management Performance Grant Program in the amount of $290,614 to administer an integrated all-hazard emergency management program for the city.
Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Jana Papa-Eftimiu with the Bureau of Emergency Management.
And this is Karen Ceballos, Finance Manager for PBIM.
Nice to see you both. Okay.
Briefly, the Emergency Management Performance Grant is a pass-through grant that comes from the federal government to the State Office of Emergency Management and then to the City of Portland. It's allocated to all Oregon counties and large cities on a per capita basis. We've received it annually since 2007, and for us it's a bread-and-butter grant that supports emergency response planning, training, and exercises. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Colleagues, any questions?
Did we have any concerns that we wouldn't get this grant this year?
A little bit. Because Portland is a sanctuary city and Oregon is a sanctuary state, we had some concern that we might not be receiving the federal support as we have in years past. We certainly don't want to become too dependent on it, but we were grateful to receive it again this year and we'll happily accept the money.
Thank you.
Public testimony on this item? Come on up, Mr. Walsh, come on up. Ladies, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We were hoping to see some information about the houseless and the people living on our streets under this emergency. We realize this is a grant has limitations, but we didn't see anything. Here's our problem. Think about this. If you had an earthquake, what would you do? If buildings collapsed, people had no places to stay, that would be an emergency. You would open up all the parks to the National Guard, and they would put huge tents and beds and heaters. And you would stand there very proud of our National Guard because they did that. But when we have anywhere from 5,000 to 2,000, depending on who you're talking to, living and dying on our streets, we do almost nothing. Even though you have millions of dollars to spend, you spend it in the wrong way because you're doing the same thing for the last 40 years. Hasn't worked, will not work, but you do not look at this as an emergency. Here you got $200,000. Are you including the emergency that Mayor Hale declared and you extended, Mayor? Do they qualify, or is it just the possibility of an emergency? Maybe an earthquake, maybe a flood. How about dying on the streets? When are we going to take that as a real emergency and not just use sugar words and talk about it in committees that nobody attends and nobody listens to? Thank you.
Thank you. And for the record, this includes all people in the city of Portland. This is a grant for the Office of Emergency Management to be able to respond on behalf of all of us to emergencies in our community. That includes houseless people as well as those who are
out. Can you straighten out 211? Will you straighten out 211?
Mr. Walsh, I've already committed to making sure that we have a 211 system.
Not to me.
Responsive.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year it is indeed.
In May 2010, I mentioned the fact that Healthy Kids does not cover, let's say, Hispanic immigrants to Commissioner Fritz, and the real truth is recently I found out from the National Organization of Women of Portland that the state of Oregon has passed a thing called Coverall. Coverall now effectively covers all children that make less or families less than $20,000. This means that anybody who lives in this state who has low-income children will be covered by a doctor. Now, I'll double-check that one. It's called Coverall. Okay, and that's come from Karen Power, who's in the legislature. She talked. Now all children are covered, basically, or they're more than the federal poverty line and have. I have come up with this conclusion that Oregon will be a sanctuary state, perhaps California, Arizona, and New Mexico. We'll take in, no matter what Trump does, we will have a large number of farm-working people or people in this state, janitor types, low-income jobs, who are from Mexico, and we need to take them in. Other states will probably have them evicted to Mexico. It's interesting to note that ISIS actually does things in Tacoma, Washington. So when they collect people, they send them up there, and then they get sent back. So I do think we will be a sanctuary state, and therefore I support grants from the federal government to aid low-income children and families.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. Again, my biggest concern on the federal grants is knowing up front and following any and all terms of these grant agreements. Now, it's my position, and I understand I don't agree with everything President Trump is doing, especially on immigration. I'm looking for major reforms on the whole system itself, and still in viewing and negotiating at this time on various issues, again, that I don't agree with the Trump administration. But we have to be very careful on these federal grants, on going into these grants, knowing up front that if we are not going to follow these terms, what I want to make it very clear to the legal team of the city is that if you're not going to follow these terms, delete the terms out and make it very clear on why you're going to delete these terms and not follow the terms in the grant agreement. Do not sign these agreements with the intent of receiving the money and then going back and say, well, we weren't going to follow these terms anyway. Not the direction you want to go with the Trump administration. Make it very clear to them you disagree, you want the term deleted out of the grant agreement, you don't plan on following it, you still want the money, and understand, just make it very clear up front and straightforward that you can't meet these terms of these current grant agreements by the Trump administration, and delete it, initial it, and take it out of the agreement. Do not accept the money and sign these agreements if you don't plan on following these grant agreements. Again, buy American. That's what Trump is about, the United States. And you better remember, buy these grant agreements, follow the terms, and understand this is why he's inserting a lot of different things in these grant agreements at this time through the new Trump administration to see if you're going to follow these terms or not, and then come back and say, why didn't you follow these terms? Again, if we come back in the future.
Can I clarify something?
Yes, sir.
Because you're making an excellent point, but I think we're mixing apples and oranges. The administration has threatened to retaliate against cities that adopt sanctuary city laws and rules by withholding certain benefits.
Very true.
The courts have said, interpreting a number of provisions of the Constitution so far, have said that would be illegal. There are no terms in these grant agreements that we would be in violation of. The bigger question is whether the administration can prevent us from being eligible to receive certain grants, particularly in law enforcement, as punishment for and retaliation for refusing to become an agent of ICE. So far, the courts have sided with us on that. The Constitution is pretty clear on that point. But I want to make a distinction between that and what you're raising.
That's more than fair. If I might respond to that, is that being who President Trump is and how knowledgeable he is on the terms of the agreements themselves, what you're stating as far as Sanctuary City has nothing to do with him implementing certain terms that you still must follow. And if he implements a term that says you must follow any and all executive orders that I sign and he implements that into your grant agreement. If you do not follow that, you are in violation of the grant agreement.
Right.
Not necessarily the sanctuary city status has anything to do with that. You are violating his terms of the agreement. That's a whole separate issue to deal with.
Correct. And without, I don't want to burden the record on this, we are bound to follow any lawful order. And we took an oath to support the Constitution. A number of the provisions the administration has put forth have been determined by courts to be unlawful. And therefore, we are not required to follow an unlawful order. But that we can have this as a longer.
And if I can just respond within 1 second. Again, these are still being worked out through the legal system, and that can change down the line. So I'm saying to counter that back is to delete it, initial it, and say we are going to challenge it into court. Make that very clear up front. That's my point. So anyway, thank you for allowing my time.
Very good. Thank
and
you, sir.
Thank you,
Any
Commissioner
further questions,
Fish,
colleagues? Please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Zossman?
Aye.
Udaley?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted.
And I think we can do number 11 quickly, Mayor.
Number 11, please.
Number 11, approve a one-time exception to HR Administrative Rule 6.03 to allow carryover vacation leave in excess of 2 years accrual for a certain eligible employee temporarily managing the Development Services section.
My name is Mike Stewart. I'm the Director of the Water Bureau. It's a surprise to be sitting here this morning. Happy New Year. I hope you all had a nice holiday.
Thanks, Mike.
What's before you today is an ordinance to allow a young man, Vu Mai, one of our stellar employees who stepped up to be the acting head of our Development Services section, through a period of great turmoil as a result of last year's retirements. We had almost complete turnover in this section. Vu volunteered to take the leadership role in the section, and he hasn't had time to use all the leave he should. So what I'm asking for today is that he be allowed to carry over 140 hours of excess leave.
Straightforward.
Public testimony on this item?
So I guess, Mike, so this is a one-time exception. Is this a one-time exception to city HR rules?
Yes, sir. It's a one-time exception to rule 6.03. And
so as the Bureau of Human Resources, are they okay with this?
Yes.
And this is their item.
They're here if you'd like to hear from them.
No, I don't need to hear
Colleagues,
from
this is their item. And because the employee filled the breach when others were not available and therefore was not able to take vacation he had earned, it's the position of the city he should not be punished for going above and beyond, and with this one-time exception, have it carried forward so he preserves the 2 weeks that he would otherwise forfeit.
Okay. I will just note that that's 3.5 weeks is what 140 hours works out to. So I hope that in the future, under your leadership, that we'll be encouraging employees to take their time as it
Yes,
as
and
they
we
should.
We normally do. In my 15 years with the city, this is the first time I think I've sat here for this purpose.
Right, but it would still be challenging in 6 months. That's more than accumulates
we'll,
over that
we'll
time.
We'll work on that, Commissioner.
Indeed so, because it's very important that people get their time away from work, even though we appreciate their diligence.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. Public testimony. Mr. Walsh, come on up.
For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Our concern is not that you're going to make the exception in 603. Our concern is, with my experience at Long Beach Naval Shipyard, after I was a chief union steward, I was also a utility supervisor in my last year. And one of the things that we would get called in on is working people too many hours. And that's my concern here. When you say, okay, you cannot have, or if we get too busy, you're not going to get a vacation for 2 years. You want to extend it to the third year. That's our concern. We want people to take their vacations because it makes them better employees. Every stat will tell you that. If you deprive employees of the opportunity to go on vacation, there is a negative side to that, a big negative side. And you should be considerate of that, and you're not. You're looking at, Commissioner Fish talks about the finances. I don't care about the finances. I care about the employee that had to work those hours, that had to dedicate themselves that much. Why is that? Who falls down on the job on that? That we don't have enough people to cover these positions. I know it's difficult, but I mean, they were shipyard. We had 5,000 employees. It was very difficult, but we did it. And we would get our ass called in and say, what are you doing there, Mr. Walsh? You got this guy working 60 hours a week for the last 3 weeks. That's our concern. When you look at the vacation, don't look at it as a pain. Look at it as a benefit. Look at it that the employee's coming back smiling. Hopefully that they had a good vacation. They need that. In Europe, they're double the vacation. You know that, Commissioner Fritz. We're terrible on vacation, and now you want to extend it for 30 years. I know it's a one-time exception. Let me tell you about one-time exceptions. Or maybe not. You know. You make an exception, you open the door, and it floods. So don't call it a one-time exception. Honor the employee. Do it. But be careful. When you do the eyes on this one, the pirate eyes, think about that. Think about that employee. They're working harder than you are, apparently.
Mayor, can I make a closing statement?
Sure. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you. I urge a council adoption of this. The Water Bureau has had two developments that have hit us simultaneously. One is an unusually high number of retirements, partly because of people aging out of their positions, partly because of uncertainty around PERS. There's a whole host of reasons, but we have had a tremendous brain drain, which we are now in the process of hiring for. Second, as my colleagues know, there was a huge crush of work year-end at the Development Services, in part because of concerns that under proposed changes to federal law, certain things would be forfeited, particularly in the area of affordable housing development. So we had fewer people and a bigger caseload. This gentleman, Vu Ma, was temporarily assigned to fill the breach. I completely agree with the testimony that this should be a one-time exception, and we should make every effort to ensure that people take their regularly scheduled vacation. What I would say in conclusion is that this particular public servant went above and beyond at a time of great need, benefiting the people we serve, and it is our intention through this action to make sure he does not forfeit his vacation in doing so. And that's the matter before us.
Well said. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
And Ms. Walsh, thank you for explaining the point that I made to Director Stowe. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Daly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. We're going to move next to time certain item number 9.